Do you get to say, isn't this pretty? It's just beautiful. I love the idea of Mary. Long before we get into Jesus, I think we ought to stop and think about this wonderful Jewish maiden, human being, who's in all the trouble in the world, with parents dead, betrothed to a man she don't know, an older man, praying to God for help, because the Jewish maiden cannot inherit her family's wealth. And she's standing there, sitting there, kneeling there, praying, God, help me. And the angel appears and says, Hail Mary, I'm going to help you. I'm going to make you pregnant if she doesn't have enough troubles. And I've asked you all along, if you were that maiden and you know that adultery can get you stoned and everything that's going on and still know that this is the answer, like so many of us are praying to God and he says, okay, I'm going to make you pregnant. And you say, no, that's not the answer. Well, maybe yes, it is the answer. You know, it is that if you're going to pray to God, you pray to God because you do not know the answer. And you pray in order to find the answer, or you open up your mind to receive the answer. And of course, it's usually foreign to what you believe. If you knew the answer, you wouldn't be asking a higher source. You should not be shocked when it's, don't worry, Mary, I'll fix everything. I'm going to make you pregnant. I'd say, no way, Jose. I don't mean to be disrespectful, but I think she all by herself is amazing that she has such belief, such purity. And Mary has always represented to me is conceiving experiences immaculately. Don't emotionalize them and don't personalize them. Let an experience of what's happening to you be an experience of what's happening to you. When it becomes a problem is when you heap your emotion and you heap your sorrow and you heap your guilt. This is a good place to suffer and pay for all I've done wrong and make people feel sorry for me. I think I'll suffer here. And it's usually we upstage someone else who's doing the suffering. Would you agree as a licensed therapist there? Do you think I'm out in a limb somewhere? I'm pretty close. It's nice to see you up. And are you going to sing? And how are we recovering from this surgery? Yeah, I saw you come down my steps pretty good that night at Don's party. That was nice. Remember we said, Sarah, speedy recovery? Well, here she is. Doing just fine. Welcome home, Sarah.
He was born so far away, so the story is told. We remember Christmas Day, when winter days grow cold, with the time it passes by, we put away the trim. Then we live and wonder why we can't remember him. The Christmas star shines once a year, then it fades away. Keep the spirit in your heart, It's Christmas every day. It's not the bells and it's not the snow. And it's not the gifts we get. But he was born so long ago. It's easy to forget. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. But men can go alone. We get lost along the way, but he can bring us home. Remember him without the star above. He left us all a Christmas gift. He left the gift of love. The Christmas star shines once a year, then it fades away. Keep the spirit. It's Christmas every day, and it's Christmas every day.
Thank you. Thank you. Oh, that's absolutely gorgeous. Gosh, isn't that deep and rich? Say Merry Christmas to each other. That's the best you can do. Hi, Maggie. I love you, Maggie. Certainly, Carol and I are going through mixed feelings tonight with the joy of Christmas, because it is still the season for everything, and we see within the church a birth, which is part of the joy of Christmas. And this afternoon, Lucille passed away. Linda Steiwalt's grandmother, Effie's mother, our Lucille, passed away this afternoon. So it was a time of a death. And it is also the time of a wedding. One of our people got married. And when all these things happen around Christmas, or even close to it, or you become aware of it at these times, I think you become more sensitive to what people are in your life, and to what the spirit of Christmas is all about, and that is literally giving each other the gift of Christ. And that is by understanding what Christ's message is to all of us. We are often taught that we must find it from within, that all change comes from within. I know that for me, the world is not the way I'd have it. In fact, my mother was not the way I'd have her, nor my father or my brothers or my sisters. Most things are not the way I would have them. And I spent a lot of my time making things the way I would have them, and then I would love them, if they were the way I would have them. No matter how loving you try to be, you can be in direct conflict. And I've known people who have literally dedicated their lives to God. As my grandmother did. I had a grandmother that lived in our house. She locked herself in the second story back rooms. She took occupancy back there because she would have nothing to do with the rest of my family. And that was heavy to grow up with. But I would go in at times to see her to try to understand what was going on, why she hated my mother so much. With a passion, she hated my mother. That's all she ever expressed to her. And my mother would never let us do anything about it. She'd say, "That is your father's mother, and you will respect her as your father's mother, and that is your only concern." I did not understand what it was that this woman had 9 children die at birth. In a row. My father was her 10th child. He survived. She was not about to turn him over to any woman. Yes, it mentally unbalanced her. That my grandmother could live with our family mentally unbalanced and have the protection of her family, even though that imbalance was turned against them, was the what I was raised within. That the protection of the people you love and their place within your heart, their place within the family, and these conditions where you give yourself over to and you love and you try to help and you hold in there and you work with these things, not walk away, you work with these things. This is the time of year you understand the joy of that kind of constant attempts at peace and love with our neighbors, with those round and about us. This is the year, time of year, I think everything touches me very deeply. Many of us did not know what the loss of our parent was. Carol said she lost, I think, in March. I think she said her father passed away. But she did not feel that loss until it became Christmas. And then the loss was really felt. So it seems that Christmas is a time to feel what we have lost. And it's also by feeling what we have lost, I think, that somehow we hollow out the vessel then by measuring that, how much we can contain if we open our eyes up and practice the things with the people that are left with us that we should say and must say to each other before it's too late and we wish we've had said. This is the time of year we say to everyone what we should say to them just in case. And anything that I feel at any loss, I see people round and about me that can replace the loss of anyone that I've ever loved in my life. It's like, even though the form has changed, the love is still there. I will not say who, but I see my mother in this church. You do might not even know her, but I know who she's in a rest home, but I know her very well. I call her my church mother. The same energy that could be in my mother is in that woman. And for me, contact with her every month. I used to call my mother, my real mother, every Thursday night of her life. This is even the 8 years that she wasn't talking to me. I'd still call anyway. I finally won. Persistence alone is omnipotent. You knock long enough, they're going to answer just to get rid of the annoyance. Just convince them that you're stronger than they are, and you're going to knock until it'd be much easier for them. When people fight with me, I used to say, look, dance with me now. You don't want to go to the court and dance with me there. It's going to be expensive. Either dance with me now or we dance later. I'm not going away. Answer me. So I persisted. It didn't come easily. But the way that the love developed between my mother was so close, and I've seen it branch over into this woman. I also see two people that I love dearly in this church, Bob and Kelly Douglas, was my secretary for many years who worked in the church, and her husband was absolutely so incredibly wonderful. But Kelly was the backbone of the church and the solidity and the love and the strength within it that was incredible. Missing Kelly is so much to me, and yet I see Kelly in this church, the same spirit, and I'm not being disloyal to Kelly. You think this is not a disloyalty. The good that is meant to be in your life should still be in your life. Everything is still there. All energy is transferable. If energy is transferable, then why can't spirit love us through those who love us? That's where the cycle of energy works. Within people who love each other can be added the extra energy. If 1 + 1 = 3 and two people really are exchanging the energy of love, then a third energy can enter. And that third energy is the spirit that Christ said, wherever your consciousness is, ye shall abide also. Wherever your heart is, there ye shall dwell. Well, where is the consciousness of those who loved us and gone before? Are they living in the spirit that is between you and the person you love? And do they now love you through those people? I believe if we're talking about pure energy, yes. And I don't think that we'll ever go to heaven and feel that we missed them, because we will realize at that point it's all part of one and the same energy. Jesus was asked a trick question in the scripture about, it was the Jewish law that if you died and man died and left a wife, and the wife was passed on by law, the brother then would have to take the wife. That was the law. There was so much for love. So this being the law, and they're saying, okay, the man dies and the brother takes the wife and then she loves him and now she dies. Which man does she belong to? Does she belong to the first husband or does she belong to his brother? That's a very trick question. Does anybody in this church know the answer to the trick question? It doesn't matter. They belong to each other. Love unifies. We can't imagine sharing someone we love with someone else. It's just absolutely unbelievable. Now, I'm not talking about physically. I'm talking about when we were growing up, I noticed as I looked back amongst my friends, you always had to be someone's friend and only their special friend. It was like you're only allowed to have one friend, and if you went and talked with someone else, or you went to the soda shop with someone else, or you did something else with another friend, how could you do that? I'm your friend. It's like friends had a loyalty and a commitment to each other that would to the excess of everything else. Talk about early marriage. And you watch jealousy in friendship. Well, I introduced you to her, and now you like her, and I'm your friend. I thought you were my friend. Now you're her friend. You cannot picture that love grows, that love multiplies. And it's like, what is wrong with our human nature that even in childhood we have to have friends that only be ours? This is my best friend. People that have to accept that. We can't understand that the love and the friendship and allowing other people in is what gives it the food, what gives it the energy to grow. Never be fearful of allowing love to grow. I think one of the hardest things in relationships as we grow is my friends and your friends. You ever know those people who have my friends and your friends? Anybody in a relationship that has left, if you've been in a relationship, I will say for at least 3 to 6 months, and you're still talking about my friends and your friends, I want to tell you, your relationship is in an awful lot of trouble because it has not even merged in any form. As long as you see they're my friends and your friends out there in a relationship, you know, this is a very cautious relationship that's probably going nowhere. Already we're saying, let's not get entangled. If you're talking about relationship, don't you want someone you feel comfortable to get entangled with again without feeling like it's a spider web? You know, I want love to be a cocoon, not a spider web. When you see people that have been together a while, after a while, from his friends, from her friends, they will select that which fits into the energy between them and feeds it. So many in a relationship will drop away, but so many will be enhanced. It takes the best of both worlds, and they're brought together. And if that doesn't happen, they're new friends. A common energy is important, that people who love each other keep that energy in a situation where it's growing and it's close, so there isn't too many meaningless relationships within your energy cycles of things you're doing for people, rushing here, doing this, doing here for that one, taking this from the store, being very busy but not really close to any of the people you're busy for. Do you understand me at all? If you're going to spend so much energy living and getting through town, and when you're sharing it with someone, it's like up on the ranch when you turn to your neighbor and you say to the neighbors you're going by, I'm going into town, can I get you anything? Town's an hour away. I'm going to the store is an hour away. It's up there into Bakersfield. It is nice to pick up the phone and tell your neighbor you're going to the store. Do you need anything as you go past them? It is like if you're going to go all the way to town, you're going to expend this energy. Also use that energy to show people that you care and put the energy in people you care for. There is a magic that starts happening in that kind of sharing and that kind of responsibility, that in knowing each other, we have come to lighten each other's load, not to burden each other with being responsible now for making me happy. You're responsible now for being my friend. You're responsible now for my whole joy in life. We do this so often to friends. I think that we feel empty in a lot of our relationships because we haven't put the extra energy of caring in there. I don't think it even takes any more energy. I think it just takes being smart enough to include those that you care about in everything you're doing. And it's so easy to pick this up for so-and-so and do that for so-and-so. And I know people that do this, and I figure, my God, where do they get the time? And if you get the time, where do they get the energy? Don't you wonder where some people get the energy? Because you're with them. In anything they're doing, anything they're seeing, they don't go to the grocery store just to get themselves a pack of cigarettes. They look down and remember that you love peppermint patties. You don't smoke, but God, do you love peppermint patties? When you come home, this person has a peppermint patty for you. And you think, my God, they stopped to think of me. No, they didn't. They stopped and got a pack of cigarettes. But these are the smart people that know what they're doing. Everybody has to do something for somebody they love while they're conveniently doing something for themselves, or it's not going to work. Did you follow me at all? Just become, you make that person a part of you. You make the church a part of you. You make your friends a part of you. And come Christmas, you feel the part of you that's Christ-like in each other. It's that tribal, family, congregation, churchy feeling, belonging to a church that is singing Christmas carols and decorated that way. Not only do you see them on television or specials, if you watched last, did you watch Mary Poppins? What's her name? Julie Andrews. And back in the mountains where the hills are alive, where it was all winter, and the cathedral she got married in was all Christmas. Didn't you always want to be the part of the people that were the cathedral and the lights and everything? Well, here it is. It's not exactly a cathedral. It's a little church in the prairie. Or it's a little country church on the corner of Long Beach and Asian Obispo. And it's got wonderful people in it, and all the lights and everything, and the pews. This is not an auditorium, and this is not a rented hall over in the Hilton or the Sheraton or Great Western Savings or a bank. This is our home. Our home that spiritually unites us together. Think of that energy. And how many of you do in your life include this in your talents and the things you can do? And that's what makes it so wonderful. That's what makes us care. I am certainly glad that Linda Steinwald has friends in this church at this time. Do you know what Christmas was to me and all about it? Darlene, who is her friend, was in the church around the fireplace, and I said, did anyone tell Darlene that Lucille just passed away? And Carol says, no, I didn't tell her. I said, well, then let me tell her. The minute I told Darlene, I said, Lucille just passed away. We just heard from Linda. She's at the hospital. I just talked to her. Without questioning, Linda was reaching down and getting on her coat, and getting her bag and getting her keys. And she said, I'm going to the hospital. I said, do you know what hospital? She said, I know which one they go to. I'm going to that one. I said, are you sure? I'm going to the hospital. And she's at that door. Her friend needed her. That's all there was to it. There was nothing church. It wasn't. And the days in church right now are important to her because Darlene's leaving us and moving back to Massachusetts because she spiritually feels the need to be with her mother and grandmother and to learn something from them that she feels she must be with them at this time that is very important. And maybe after this is finished, she can come back. Isn't that beautiful to know that as much as you're here at the fair and feasting and find friends in California, your soul is calling you back to cold Massachusetts to say, ah, but there's a depth and a richness between your mother and grandmother that you have yet to understand and receive. So her night to be here with Christmas and you is important, yet at no thought was there of herself for a moment as she reached for her coat to get in her car into what traffic or raining to go find Linda in the hospital she thinks Linda's in because she cares that much. What do you think it's all about? What do you think the ultimate reason to be a metaphysician is all about? Is it to be smarter? Is it to be wiser in theology or mysticism? Is that, if that's what it's about, does it enrich us then in our personal lives? I would have to say no. If it isn't applied to our daily life, it isn't applied to the family. This is your new family. In this family, everybody that you ever cared for, ever knew in your life is represented here once again. Everyone that I ever cared for in this church whose spirit is elsewhere, I see that energy still within that person. And it's kind of fun to watch as one energy leaves, what other one comes in. As one life is ushered out, what life is ushered in the family. And even scientists tells us now, even the universe itself expands and contracts. And in between time, there is no time. Well, I haven't even got to where I can understand that yet. I don't even understand time alone, no time. I haven't even got down for sure the theory of relativity. I think I understand it. So what does it boil down to? That you and I, as we function together, are a power in each other's behalf. If not created or helped by anything outside of ourselves, we are still a power. Even by the laws of science, let's say that you can't accept the whole God part, or the whole God part is a joke. It doesn't change anything, because if all of us get together and say, this is what we believe, it is so now because we believe it, because we have created it. And as we bring that belief together and we understand our friendships and our rules to help us function as a large group, just not two or three people living in a city of millions and only two or three people. You know what I get excited about tonight? I said, Don, I really am enjoying some little bit of rest right now, but I couldn't wait to come to church because I get to see all of you. This is the only way I'm going to get to see Mark or Zoe. This is the only way that I'm going to see. I see Joe is here, Danny's here, Ruby's here, and you can go on, Jack and Dot and everybody that is here. This is where I get to see them on Thursday night. These are my friends. And what I want to do tonight is be at Christmas so aware of that. and all the aspects that are going on in their life, the deaths and the births. And to let us all know that we are people who have learned to say, even if nothing else, hey, just having one lover or one friend or one or two people I know is not enough for me. I want to know more people. I want to be more involved. And I've really come to the conclusion as I listen to the news or stuff, and I'll talk to Don and I'll say, do you see more and more what he meant to be within a world, within a world? You can literally create your world within a world. And if you reach out, and we all have different avenues of life, different talent, different places we go, and if we all held a common bond of love and spiritual understanding for each other, do you know the world within the world we can move and nothing of the outer world could affect us? And it's kind of nice to build within a world, within a world of friends. I'm invited to do a progressive dinner. I've never done one. And at first I thought, oh God, that sounds like a lot of trouble. Going to someone's house, parking your car, eating. I'm not one to get up and walk after I eat anywhere. But then you're going to eat at this person's house, and then you go to another person's house, you walk there, and then you have a course there, and then I'm going to walk to somebody else's house and have a course there. And I say, I can eat this night, walking in between them. And then I thought, now wait a minute, listen to what you're saying, letting more life in. What a wonderful thing to go do, is to actually experience that in one night, to say I've been in three people's houses for dinner, and I also walked in everything. Now you talk about putting time to really good use. Do you know how else to have three close friends for dinner in one night? There's going to be a whole little group of us involved. Where, you know, you say, well, only I had time, I'd have her over for dinner, but then I'd have to have her over for dinner, then I'd have to have over for dinner. Well, do a progressive dinner. Each hour you shift and go to someone else's house. And I thought, God, that is really great, isn't it? It would usually take me a couple weeks to get that down on my social calendar. Now, you understand how I'm going to take this time to, I'm going to be very convenient. How convenient. It works. So what I'm trying to give you is a metaphysical message. If you really love the person that you love, become more mindful of them everywhere, every place you are. You're bound to see a peppermint patty while you're trying to pick up a newspaper or get yourself a pack of cigarettes. Or as you're driving, stuck in the light, there happens to be a kid selling roses. They're on your mind so much that, hey, they're worth it. Take 2 hours to show them you were thinking of them. You include them. That's what our love cards will tell each other at Valentine's Day. Won't it? That's what we'll try to say. You're in my thoughts. I think of you. You're a part of my life. You're a part of everything I do. And they are always there in the back of your mind. And you always see things, and they're in your mind as you see them. They're just always there with you. And it's kind of nice to know that you're kind of even sometimes remote viewing each other at that times. And wouldn't it be nice to know that as we advance in the future, that let's say that you're the love of your life is out shopping somewhere and they see something really beautiful and they wish you were there, that they could hear you and actually come there mentally. Are you ready to accept that that is the way it's going to be? That's what all the scientific experiments were just done at Stanford University that the government classified. The scientists quit. They even came here. I bought them on the air. They told their story here. It's been told in the newspaper that that's actually what happens. You will be able to tune into the person you love. They've done it in a laboratory. You don't know where they are. They go to a place. They don't even know where they're going, so they can't clue you in. And they'll send somebody out, and they call the person out on the field to go somewhere after they open the envelope, go to the place in the envelope, and the person in the laboratory has to concentrate on them, think of where they are, and draw a picture of what the person's looking at, what is the target. And it's done all the time. So the next time you turn around and say, oh, God, I wish she could be here to share this, she can be. It's Star Trek-y time. That's about as spiritual as I want to get. And I think getting Star Trek-y is all the spiritual things I ever heard about. And I'm thinking of the human and the divine and the mystical and the technical are all coming together to work together for the good of all of us. All parts are about to work together for the good of humanity. Amen. They really are. Now, the only thing we'll be missing in this wonderful world will be the quality of love that is amongst us. Isn't that going to be what makes it all good? Is the quality of love. Don't you judge your life by the quality of love when it's finally done? How much you love, how much you care, and knowing that you are also loved and cared, to be in that kind of loving relationship that is committed, the kind that knows that every day isn't going to be wonderful. There are days where you just wish they'd go away or you could be alone, and those days pass, though. When you love each other, you have good days, you have bad days, but you always know to sit and wait. The sun comes out again. And then you get to learn after a while that when you even have bad days, it's just you having bad days. And the most wonderful thing about a bad day is they are around. And being with them is just as good as being alone, but only better. That becomes magic. And it becomes possible. Oh, that baby can goo-goo all at once. Don't you tell that baby, shh, speak up, child. Its name is Damien. Don't expect it to be quiet. You asked for this. You asked for this. Damien. Probably go home. I'd listen at night. It probably gonna start channeling real quick, you know. My mother told me I did, and she didn't understand me. So, in fact, why don't you just give me the child and I'll raise it? I'm just trying to get a feeling metaphysically across to you. I hope that somehow I'm doing it. That sometimes we get to the point we really think we don't have time to love who we love. And I'm saying, yes, you do. You make time. And you, how do you do it? By including them everywhere you are and keeping them in mind. You will see things that show them that you are always together. And I think when you feel that and you have that kind of rapport with someone, it's really incredible. Sometimes, knowing Don so well and 17 years of working together, there are sometimes, like he amazed me this morning, everything I thought he said, everything I was thinking, he would say it. Right down to coffee, everything, and I'm going, boy, talk about minds being attuned in one morning. And sometimes when you have these marvelous times of synchronization where everything just seems to synchronize itself and you wish it could always be like this, and the scientist, particularly George Leonard, if you read his book, says it can always be like this. The only thing that synchronizes things off is when you get emotional and don't let things happen the way they're supposed to happen. I guess that's the reason to understand the Immaculate Conception, to conceive all things immaculately so they can sweep in and out of your life as they're supposed to sweep without you grabbing and saying, oh, I think I'll hold this one and suffer for a while. Isn't it amazing how many people can hold on to something and suffer for a while? When I used to do counseling, people come in and they'd tell me, and I swear it just happened yesterday, and I'm, oh, God, I'm so sorry. And then I'd find out they're talking about something that happened 28 years ago, and I go, whoa, you know. It was even worse now than it was when it happened then. They had really built this up, you know. Each time they told it, it got bigger. You got to make those pictures gigantic. You make those pictures. Everything that happens to you, you take and you make that picture so big, and then you get that small inside of it, and you go, help! And you live that way all the time. I can't do it, God, help! Reduce the picture! Remember my, I'm going to end with this. Remember I told you my craziness about getting certified letters in the mail? And then I had Dr. Dossi here, and it happened to be that this television show, we had to do them here at the church, and I'm saying, why do I go crazy when I get certified mail? What am I keyed into, and how do I get out of it? Because I'd be metaphysical, and I say, I'm not going to think about it. Think positive. Put it out of your mind. Like hell, don't think of the Eiffel Tower. You all just saw the Eiffel Tower. Don't think of it. Every time I say that, you can't help but think of it. And I say, how do you get out of think, feel, feel, think, feel, feel, think? And it's just bouncing back and forth. Because when you start saying, oh, my God, look what I feel. I don't want to think that. And you go back to thinking and feeling and thinking. And how do you get out? And he said, Damien, reduce the picture. You're just blowing the picture up. Know that you've blown the picture up. Just bring it down and reduce the picture gradually. Well, I thought, fine, I got that all down. You know what happened to me this week? I got back from the ranch, and I got another certified letter in the mail. And it so happens that I couldn't get it out of the post office. So I had to go all through the night. Now, maybe that don't mean nothing to you. Maybe yours is thunder. If it thunder, Carol goes crazy. Mine is a little yellow piece of paper. Because every time it came in the mailbox, it meant I was being sued. And it was always because I was the pastor of the church and they always wanted my house. They were repossessing it for the bills of the church. This yellow ones came all the time. A yellow piece of paper like that means heart attack, heart attack, heart attack. Don't wait. Have it now. Die now before you find out what's really wrong. It's better that you die now than you suffer what's coming. Anybody had those? Pictures. I said to Don, I know how to solve this. I'm never going to pick up the mail again. You pick it up. And there's one, sneak down and get it. Forge my name. I said, boy, you be responsible, Don. And I said, no, cancel that. I've got to handle this. And I decided, okay, here come the second one. And I'm sitting up there and I'm saying, reduce the picture, Damien. And I did. And I actually went to sleep. Now, I'm not saying that it was 100% better, but I did get control of it. And every time it came up, I didn't act like it wasn't coming up. I said, I know what you are, and I told you, and I'll reduce the picture one more time again. Until I was quite calm about it. And again, it was absolutely nothing. Nothing. Literally. Somebody said I didn't pay my pool bill, and the guy just sent me the receipt showing me I did. They're not taking my house. And now that I've really got this new house, you're not getting this house in the name of the church. Does that mean I'm not willing to sell my house for you anymore? I don't think so. I think if it came down for the well-being of all of us, I'd do it in a minute. Maybe that's the only reason I'm allowed to have it, because I know where it came from. Let's be mindful who we care about, and let's keep the Christmas idea of the people around and about us. Let's attack them less and care for them more. Let's include them in everything we do. Let's become more mindful of them, because it will make us happier in the long run. Now, all it takes for the world to become a loving place is for you to start deciding to love everything as it is. Stop being Timmy Simpson and saying, as soon as everything changes the way I want it to be, as soon as the world's the way I think it should be, then I'll love the world. Until then, to hell with it. You only reach peace when you start looking through a heart of love at everything. You have to be willing to let things be the way they are and love them. You have to come with peace with inside of yourself. When you make that kind of peace with the outer world, you'll have more time to be energetic and loving to the world you find yourself within. Amen? Christmas is a verb. Christmas someone. Be aware of this family, and I'm asking you at Christmas, particularly be aware of the friends you have in this church. I really want you to become aware of that. If you want friends and you want a place, we invite you most definitely to become a part of us. But at this Christmas, I see Maggie that I haven't seen for so long, but our hearts are really one, Maggie and Bill. Now, a lot of you are new people, and you don't know Maggie. Maggie used to cook in the kitchen and clean back there in the kitchen, and she was the most wonderful person that ever came in the church, and she was just lonely, cleaning and scrubbing in the kitchen, and everybody loved Maggie in this church so well. All of us saw her with a Prince Charming. This is a true story. We all just told her we saw her with a Prince Charming, and by George, she met him. And if you know Bill, then you know one of the sweetest guys alive. And they're sort of our Cinderella and Prince Charming. And if he does anything to muck it up, I'll get him for it. This is, and they live happily ever after. I'm not saying they don't have problems and situations, but they've had that knowledge that has kept them so warm. So for all of you that don't even remember when that used to be a kitchen and we used to serve hamburgers after church and breakfast and everything, Maggie was a part of that. And I watched her dream come through. And to know that the years are there with us. Cards came in the mail from the audience saying, I have been wishing you Merry Christmas from the time Psychic Phenomena was born on the air till now in its later years through Quest 4. What a nice feeling. So become aware of your family out there. And for you that come here, become very aware to be able to look around and say, hi, Cindy. It's good to see you back. And, you know, I can't help but see you in a cream puff. They come together. And Nina is just a mystical lady. She could tell my fortune anytime. I could just tell she could do it. And I got to know over the retreat Catherine, Kathleen, both of them much better. Catherine even is going to be working up on the ranch with us and volunteering, but getting to know Kathleen, and I knew there was someone under there, but she takes her time before she comes out. She checks you out. I admire that. She's a natural camp leader. Of course, Jill and I had a chance to deepen our relationship, and we had such a wonderful retreat that I think there was some fun phenomena happened. We call it poltergeist phenomena. But there was one time I was telling him that God thinks something is garbage, and just then the garbage can simultaneously popped outside and lids went off crashing. And if you were in the energy, you knew it just wasn't insignificant. You say it's coincidence. Oh, yeah. You say garbage and have it happen at the same time at the right moment. And everybody went, whoa. And who cares? It all brought us together real fast as one little group. We had such a good time. Now I want to cherish at Christmas what I have with you. Now I was going to keep this quiet, but I think I'm going to tell you. No, I think I'm going to keep it quiet. If I were you, want to know, come to church Sunday, because something very special is going to happen in this church Sunday. I've decided that it's time that we said thank you every December, which Mary represents the service in bringing forth the Christ, that I would like to honor someone in this church, one of the women. I don't want it to become competitive. It's just each year I want to say thank you to someone. And I hope you'll join me. There's so many people you think of. But under the scenes, we're going to do it, and we're going to do it in June to award one of the men of the church. Our way of taking time out, and maybe it'll go down to monthly, where you can get to know a little bit about people, and we can tell you why we appreciate them and how they give. You should know a little about this. Sunday, we are going to be telling you. And it's called an Appreciation Day. So we're having an Appreciation Day for someone very special in this church. She has no idea who it is. And I'd like to start having appreciation days, because I'm realizing at Christmas that what we're going to appreciate the most, so that to get you to know each other and share with each other and who you are and bring you closer together, will then make even next Christmas that much better, right? Somebody to carol with. One plus one equals three. I know that Lucia will have a place to love that which is on earth. And every time you love, all those who are part of you love and have a chance to love you once again. Wherever love is, love can enter. And so many times you look at someone and you say, I don't know why I love you so much. It's usually because there's so many loving you through them. Sometimes that's hard to see. And I really believe that. When you have love, then so many that you cannot be with have a vessel through which they may love you. And I've seen their loving hands reach through to me. I hope that you can see them reach through to you. So let it be a time of caring. Let it be a time of sensitivity and warmth with each other. A time where if you don't have a fireplace, I do it in my house because I don't have one, but I got a mess of candles going that you'll think I do. And everybody looks so nice in my house by candlelight. And take time to say, what I want for Christmas is a deepening of the gift I already have with you. And I want to understand that God's gift, Christmas, is God's gift to us wrapped in humanity. That's where he expressed it. That gift was wrapped in that humanity to us. Christ was certainly a gift of love to the people. God so loved the world, so loved it. So let all of us say in our heart, peace on earth. We see a chance for it to happen, don't you? We see a chance to save our planet. We're making a difference. Let's keep thinking the difference. Let's be a people. Every one of you are important. Your mind and what you think is important in the collective consciousness. If you don't think you're important, you are, just by thinking what you do, being added to the numbers, added to the energy that thinks that way collectively. We're far more powerful than what you think. So Merry Christmas. Share wine, water, bread, hugs, warmth, caring, Christmas cards, bells, chili, cold, fireplaces. And all you people in Long Beach that are going to feel sorry for those people going up on that cold ranch, I want you to know we didn't have any high winds. We had nice cold and snow flurries, but we had huge bonfires and the fireplace indoors and the Christmas tree going, and it was just wonderful. Say it so. Wasn't it? Wasn't it wonderful? I just want to wait a minute before I go. Don't you ever want to listen to the silence with somebody? Sometimes when Don and I get home after church and we listen to chatter, we both know not to talk. And he'll either look at me or I'll look at him and go, isn't the silence great? You want to listen to each other?
You want to hear what you sound like silently? You can hear it. I was watching a program today that this one young man who thinks he's going to copy the Stradivarius, and they're telling you how much the Stradivariuses are worth now. And every musician says the Stradivarius, literally they feel, comes alive, that there's soul in a Stradivarius. And they say that he used to listen. They think that he used to go out into the woods and listen to what trees, what sound they made, and he would listen to them, and then that's the wood he'd select. And this new man who's coming up that they say is the next Stradivarius, they're saying, do you listen to the wood? And he said, yes. And he said, listen. And he just said, this is my workbench. And he rubbed the wood. And if I could put the microphone, you'd hear there's a rubbing sound on anything. And you hear it. And he said, and then he was showing the wood in his hand. And he said, and this is the violin wood. Listen. And you should hear the violin wood almost sound crystal compared to his workbench wood. And he said, this is what you build the sound on. So you can even hear the sound in wood. And you can even hear, when you listen to that, then you can tell what the potential voicing of that sound would be like. How would you like to hear us in silence and then imagine what we would say if we could be played or if that voice that you hear could find a heart to speak? Now let's just take a minute and rest and listen to us. Amen. You don't need to stretch that too long. Did you feel somehow you're a part of consciousness? I just go up and I see the light there and I just want to join it. You just feel that group energy and you just go join it and be in it for a while. I hope you'll continue to celebrate Christmas with us. I look forward to the midnight service and Christmas morning service. And I am so grateful for this church, for this light, for its Christmas, to say, this is our home, and we're not new. This church is 20 years old next year, so I think we've passed the test of time. If we've got through the first 20, the next 20, let's go through comfortably. I think it's time we start feeling safe and solid. It's time that I even felt that I don't have to struggle my heart out to keep this place here. There's enough of you that feel the way I do about keeping this place to come back to meet in, to come to just when you need it. It's funny, walking around Long Beach, so many people say, oh, I've been to your church and I just loved it. No, Damien, you're so wonderful. I don't even know who they are. Some guy just saw me where I lived and put a book he read at the door for me and just thank you and I've been to your church. And it's kind of nice to know that I didn't know I knew. Forgive me for going on with this, but I've always let the church know that I was aware of the negative impact that I had on people. I was aware of all the people that were against me and all my enemies. For somehow, in your presence, I'm not aware of that impact anymore. Everybody I meet tells me what a great and good impact or influence I've been in their life. And that's all I'm hearing anymore. Because when you hide, your enemies seek you out. And the more you hide, the more they want to seek you out to get you. But when you stand out, your enemies just don't bother because you're too open. And then all the people that love you when you're available come and tell you they love you. Do you understand what I'm trying to tell you about that? And the more I used to be private and hide so people wouldn't have any problem with me, the more they would seek me out and accuse me of things because I was hiding. Now I just, okay, I give up. Here I am. And people say, oh, Damien, I just love you. I'm going, you do? So come on, let's get some high impact going. High impact in each other's life. And I want to be a good impact on your life, and I feel I already am. And any of you that don't know that, you really got a problem. Because you have no problem with me. Not now, not ever. This is the family where you feel safe in. If I could handle my grandmother, her name was Bertha. It was so appropriate. If I could handle Bertha, we'll handle you. Your family will look out after you, teach you, guide you, fraternal correction. Okay? I can't get out of this, so I'll just pull myself out and say, praise be the name of Jesus Christ. And thank you all for being here.
When I was 8 years old, we moved out to the countryside, and it was still dirt roads out there at that time. So most of my parents' finances went toward keeping the house together. So what we did was... Not so many years ago, my family all together, pinching pennies here and there as Christmas came to be. We'd make the gifts that we could, then we'd draw a card, and the rest came from the Avon lady. So ding dong went the bell, I knew 'twas there for me. All our gifts would come at once to put under the tree. So sing a song of joy, let's all jump with glee. Praise be, praise be, praise be to the Avon Lady. The Avon Lady didn't know that she was Santa Claus. We all had done our shopping door to door. So if you're an Avon Lady way out there in the cold, praise be, praise be, praise be to the Avon Lady. So ding, ding, dong went the bell, I knew 'twas there for me. All our gifts would come at once to put under the tree. Sing a song of joy, let's all jump with glee. Praise be, praise be, praise be to the Avon Lady. Something for my mom and dad, a gift for grandma too. A bottle shaped like a jar with cologne, some bubble bath shaped like a shoe. We never really doubted that Christmas would not be. Praise be to the Avon Lady. So ding dong went the bell, I knew 'twas there for me. All our gifts would come at once to put under the tree. Sing a song of joy, let's all jump with glee. Praise be,
praise be, praise be
to the Avon Lady. The Avon Lady didn't know that she was Santa Claus. We all had done our shopping door to door.
Door to door.
So if you're an Avon Lady way out there in the cold, can you believe I wrote this? Praise be, praise be, praise be to the Avon Lady. All our gifts would come at once to put under the tree. Sing a song of joy, let's all jump with glee. Praise be, praise be, praise be to the Avon Lady.
Next year I'm going to do that. I'm going to...
Next year, is that better?
I'm used to nightclubs, you know. I got to jump on the mic and let him have it. But where was I? Next year, I'm going to maybe see the Avon Lady, or at least do it by mail order. I don't like all the traffic out there. But when you're shopping, which I did today for the first time this season, it's amazing how many people come to your mind, the people that you love. And this church does have a definite spirit of giving that happens all year long. And it's in that spirit, as Damien mentioned tonight, that gift of the Christ spirit. We did this all year long. And how many people come up to you and say, hey, can you tell me something about metaphysics, or can you tell us how we can make a better world? It doesn't happen that often, but as a group, we can do it through here and with our gifts here, then we can make an impact on the rest of the world. I think that is a Christmas gift we can do all year long. I'd like to thank everybody for the support you've been so kind to give to. Let's have an offering. Whoop.
Silent night, O
one horse open sleigh. On the fields we go, laughing all the way. Bells on bobtails ring, make your spirits bright. What fun it is to ride and sing a sleighing song tonight. Oh, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one horse open sleigh.
20 of these, and now I thank God he didn't, but I still love babies. I just don't want to have to go through what you go through to get them. Ah, still love babies, yes. Just think, I will never have to pay alimony, child support, and you're all mine. Oh, God. And who knows, he could be somebody's parent that used to be around here, huh? Oh, don't cry. I know, life is that way. It's a bitch and then you die, but UMS, we've changed it, right? Yes. Yes. And don't you let people hold this baby. I'm serious. This baby's too young. Really, any kid named Damien got his own pony coming, you know. Pick of the breed. Who are we going to sing a song to? Let's send our thoughts to Effie, and our thoughts to Linda Stiwall, Darlene, who's with her, and Kelly up in North is having problems. She asked for you to think of her in prayer. If you don't, some of you don't know her, but trust me. She's really worth any of our thoughts and prayers. She gave so much of her life here in this church for its well-being. How are you doing? Okay? You look okay. Yeah. You went Christmas shopping and you didn't kill anybody?
No.
You didn't bah humbug?
It was nice. I was surprised.
You were too much alike.
Yeah.
I love people. Get out of my way. I'll kill you, sucker.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What are you knocking over? You see that person hit me and didn't even say, excuse me? Don used to be afraid to go out with me. I love everybody, but don't knock me. Don't mess with me. Get in my way. How'd you do? Were you kind?
Yeah.
Gentle?
Yeah.
Yielding?
Yeah.
Loving?
Yeah. And now I'm broke. No, I thank God I'm rich.
Amen.
This is preparation for Sunday.
When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. And in my hour of darkness, she is standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. let it be, let it be, let it be, let it be. Speaking words of wisdom, let it be. When the night is cloudy, there is still a light that shines on me. Shine until tomorrow, let it be. And though we may be parted, there is still a chance that we will see. There will be an answer, let it be. Just let it be, let it be, let it be, let it be. There will be an answer, let it be. Just let it be, let it be, let it be, let it be. There will be an answer, let it be. Though the broken-hearted people living in the world agree, there will be an answer, let it be. Though they may be parted, there is still a chance that we will see. There will be an answer, let it be. Just let it be, let it be, let it be, let it be. There will be an answer, let it be. Let it be, let it be, let it be. Won't you let it be? There will be an answer, let it be. Let it be, let it be, let it be.
A lot of times in the seminary, I didn't want to talk to Jesus. I said, I talked to his mother. She was always considered kinder, and she'd always listen, and she never judged or condemned, but always intercede. What do you want, child?
Thank you for my birthday.
Yeah, he did have a very nice birthday. You're not upset now. Did we make up for last year? Are we forgiven?
Let's know.
You'll be sorry. I sure like this place. I guess I've already said that, didn't I? The prayer of St. Francis of Assisi has special meaning here, particularly because it's the creed of this church, and it's the only creed that I submitted, and it was accepted as we received our charter from the state of California. Thus it is the prayer. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. It is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Dear God, if I am in the state of grace, I pray you keep me there. If I am not in the state of grace, I pray you bring me there. Amen. The words of St. Joan of Arc. A few things I would like you to be mindful of before we leave. Anyone who would like to help go over and carol at Providence House around 6 o'clock, it'll be on the 19th, that's I believe Saturday night, and there'll be people going over to carol. Them, I guess there's about 12 patients there. They're going to try to bring even the ones that are seriously ill downstairs to become witnessing of the carols. It is a time to go over there and celebrate. Unfortunately, it was also this time they have just been robbed and burglarized, and all the storage that they kept in the cellar, they need, if you would like to help, toilet paper, lots of bleach. They use lots of bleach, detergent, and meats that they can put back in the freezer that were taken from them. So that's okay. Whoever takes that must really need it. Let it go. Don't send bad after it. Don't see. Let it be what it is. Don't make it worse. Don't make it better. what the chance. Isn't this wonderful? You got a chance to do something positive. So for those of you who would like to help, that is going to be taking place. And there's going to be an auction coming up that is slated for this Sunday, but I'm going to stop it from going on this Sunday simply because I've looked and seen what is being offered, and there is even a diamond necklace that is involved that has been given for the auction that's valued at $1,200. So I think we should have a chance to let the church know what kind of auction that people, because there are some people out there, even the TV audience are getting involved, that are making some heavy donations. It seems that God wants the church to have an auction. I didn't start this, but there's a fur coat now involved, a fur jacket involved, there's a diamond necklace involved in it, and other things. Maybe if you'd like to get involved in it and you have something nice that you'd like to contribute for the auction, go right ahead, and we'll figure out how best we want to handle this. So I'd like you to become aware that I am going to cancel that for Sunday, the office. I hope you hear me. You're all invited to the midnight services, and our midnight services are at midnight. The January retreat is the 22nd, 23rd, and 24th. Happy birthday, Damien. Incredible. Okay, sing us home. How nice. God bless you.
Merry Christmas.
Sing unto the Lord a brand new song. Sing, sing.